Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwin. I'm getting a little nervous that this is one more thing that is going to...
I didn't actually call in on my phone, so I'm on my computer. Here we go.
Wow. All right. You're not even camping.
No. I have power and everything, and I still couldn't get on. Anyway, here we go.
Here we go.
Our assignment from yesterday, go back and review the conversation in your head that you've jotted down about this issue to see if there are any voices you've not captured. Example, voice missing. What if he has a point? Maybe I'm missing something. All right, here we go. Our first caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Barbara from Chicago.
Well, hello, Barbara. What are you seeing?
Well, what I'm seeing is that work has had it's a big, huge, maybe the biggest content area for me, and it's always kind of had this exaggerated meaning and importance, like defining who I am and needs to be my purpose, and because other things, haven't done other things in life I should have done. I know this is all ego speaking, because I haven't done other things or accomplished other things, and that gives it even more importance. And then the standards are so high that I've just never
failed
to meet them, or, you know, so.
You've
failed.
I failed. You failed. Yeah.
I have failed.
Yeah. All right. I had a feeling that was coming, Barbara. I could see it. And it's such a, you know, everybody is nodding along, I would bet, because that's what it does, right? It just backs us into a corner. You know, this is the thing that really matters. This is the thing that really matters. Your whole life hinges on this.
Yep.
And then it makes the standards so high that there's no way we could ever meet those ever moving standards, right?
Right,
so no matter
right.
How well you do, it's not enough, as we, you know, the not enough. And then, of course, the final conclusion that you failed.
Yeah. The other thing, though, that I saw, like, that's so true. And then what the wonderful thing that showed up as I was looking at that is this quote, which is one of my favorite quotes, from Martha Graham. There is a vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And that has helped me to focus on just being here and do my work, do the things that I really enjoy as expressions of my creativity, which can be my work. I mean, it's a way that I can experience work. And it's really worked for me, this whole, like, since we've started looking at this, I just keep coming back to that. It's really coming back to this here now and life and that energy, that vitality that's already here.
Yeah, what a concept. That what you do, and I'm guessing what you love. Yeah.
Yes.
The creative work you do, right?
Yes.
Because out of all the things you could have chosen, that's the one you picked.
Yeah.
And so what you're realizing is that all of that stuff had nothing to do. You know what's funny about it, Barbara? Not only do we get that it has nothing to do with work, it has nothing to do with us.
Yes.
You know, it's like a you know, a propaganda program that we're trained to take personally, and it's just a program. It's just playing for everybody, and we believe that it's talking to us. Wow, what a boon to see through that, huh?
Oh, it's really been surprisingly, I don't know, happy and good, and work has never been that, you know, work, not that it never has been, but I'm so caught up in the way that it needs to be better, I need to achieve more, I need to be more successful, and all the ways that that's defined, that I miss this life force that's that can come, it is not me, but can come through me. And
that does all that.
Yeah.
That does all that. That is the creative force. That is it's all of it. Mm-hmm. Just waiting to be expressed. And my image there is like, you know, you've got this great thing of water. And the pipes get smaller and smaller and smaller, 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 smaller. So all that can come out is this little dribble, right? And that's what ego is doing to us. It's just taking that massive, beautiful life force and narrowing it down until we just get this little bit, and then it criticizes us for only having a little bit.
Right, like what if you don't really live your life, you know, like it sets that up, and then it sets up this
tries to make sure it happens,
not having lived, right, not having expressed it. I know.
So Barbara, you know where you are right now, right? I mean, you know that I'm going to tell you once again, just don't give any attention to that whatsoever. None.
Yeah.
And watch not only the joy that you feel, but watch how that changes your work. Without all the attention on all that negativity, what are you going to be freed up to do?
I know. It's so amazing.
It's so exciting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's exciting, yes.
Yes. And you know, then I don't know if it'll do this to you, but what it often wants to do is come in and say, yeah, but look at all this time you've wasted.
I get that.
Yeah. And of course you haven't wasted any time at all. Because it takes us, as long as it takes us, to get to this point of seeing it and to burst through and experience that freedom, you got plenty of time. Mm-hmm. You got lots
Thank
of time.
You. Yeah, thank you for
you
saying that.
Yeah, all the time in the world.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really helpful to hear again and to remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so if it's negative, it's got nothing to do with your creativity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it's not excited and enthusiastic and supportive and telling you what you need to hear to be even more courageous, more expansive, more, you know, pushing those edges even more. It's got nothing to do with you. It doesn't need to have any of your attention.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good to hear. You're right, because it can take even this energy, and it should be more. It should be bigger. It should be recognized. It should, whatever.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Pack alive.
It can take anything. It can shapeshift anything.
It can take anything. Exactly. It's the ultimate shapeshifter.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
go happy,
okay?
Yep.
All right.
Okay,
thank
I'm going
you,
happy. You go happy, right. too. Thank you so much.
All right, I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Barbara. You know, Sherry, we were just looking at this in group the other day, that there's a way in which we pop out of that place that place of identification and recognize that the life force is all of me. And it's so important, I mean, so important for us to recognize that there's a vacuum of identity there, right? There's no I that is attempting to manipulate that life force. And so to be able to stay in the not knowing so that life does the creating. And I learned to rest in not being I, not being the I of ego, in order for that relationship to deepen, where I'm being taught how to be with that force, how to be that force, rather than be outside of it, trying to do something with it. And so it's so important to be able to take that time to create that interactive relationship with it. I mean, those words are clumsy, but there's a way in which I have to be shaped by it rather than trying to be that which shapes it, which has been the case for so long.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, because what you're speaking to is the humility of being a student. And that's what we all are. I mean, life is the master. right? And we are the students. We are at the feet of the master, and we are learning.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful image for all of us, whether what we do is creative work, which is easy to see. You know, if you're a painter or a writer or a sculptor or, what you know, a dancer, you know you've got to find a master and apprentice yourself, right? Mm-hmm. But for the rest of us, it's equally true. Life, we are apprenticing ourselves to life so life can teach and guide us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love that.
It's such a process of revelation.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Todd calling from Kelowna, British Columbia.
Hello, Todd. What are you seeing?
Oh, I'm seeing, first, my heart just goes out to all the folks affected by the fires in Southern California. And Central California, all that, all over the news. I just want to.
All our pals who are who are constantly hit. Blessedly,
yes.
So far we're fine. You know,
oh,
we're
good.
Without power and
yeah.
we're camping.
But
you know, all things considered, that's a small price to pay. So
just thoughts and prayers to everybody affected by it. And I'm in a big fire region too. We had a really low fire season, which is just cold and wet summer, which is, you know, a blessing. But I've been affected by fires for many summers, so I got some experience of it, and it's just devastating. So just wanted to put that out there to everybody affected by it.
Thank you, Todd.
Well, when it came to work initially, because I've been retired for a few years, the response was, well, that's an area we don't have to look at because we don't work. And that was just so bogus because conditioning parses it as a definition of work, which is,
that's
a
punch
going,
a time clock.
Right. Get a paycheck, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw that the next layer was not enough. Because I volunteer now. I do stewardship in practice. I am on a couple board of directors and volunteering for seniors fitness. I'm involved in some civic projects. So, you know, I hear the responses, well, you're not doing enough. And when I do recordings about it, it's absolutely bogus, again, false.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actively participating in practice. I'm actively engaged in my local community. I'm engaged in helping, assisting older folks with keeping fit and, you know, longevity. And I'm busy. Maybe busier than when I was working.
Right. Oh, that's such a good point.
Yeah.
Because when we go to work, you know, you have to show up at whatever time and work to whatever time. That's that. And very often then, of course, what the voices work on us with is you're tired. You've done so much, and oh God, you have to do these. You have to do the laundry, or you got to pick up the kids from take them to, you know, whatever it is. That's the story that it has people in. And now you don't have those hours in the day that you go somewhere to get that paycheck, and so now it's going to work on you with. You're not doing anything. So look at what you could be doing if you, you could end world hunger if you just cared.
Sure. Yeah. So, and again, it's this through our content month by month by month, I've been seeing a really fascinating reoccurring process. I think I've talked about it on these calls a lot. Is the default of I get tons of invitations to participate because I'm involved with a lot of different, a lot of different groups and boards, and the default immediately is no thanks, no, don't want to, don't feel like it, and then I go against that, I see it, I go, oh, there it is again, and I say yes, and I have a great time.
Yeah, because excuse me, what that reinforces again for us is. That no is just an effort on the part of the ego to get you to stay home with it.
Yes.
Because while it talks to us about you don't do enough,
yeah.
what it, every time, as you say, there's an opportunity to do something, it says, no, mm-hmm. you don't, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And yeah. so what does that mean? I'm going to sit home on the couch. bless you, beating me up for not doing anything.
Yeah.
I mean, as we see its program,
right.
Yeah, we can see how really fiendish it is and how all roads, as we say, lead to self-hate. That's
yeah.
just the bottom line. There's something wrong with you. There's not enough, and mm-hmm. it's your fault.
Yeah, yeah. I liked yesterday's call when you said there's just some words we need to eliminate from the vocabulary, and I love not enough. I love work. We can eliminate that. You know, we can even eliminate retired.
Wrong.
What does that mean, wrong?
Yeah.
Retired,
yeah.
like, you know, when folks ask me, so what do you do? I don't even say it anymore. I just say, oh, I'm really actively involved in all these volunteer groups. And they go, oh, wow, really?
Oh, fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then I talk about Africa Project. I talk about, you know, practice. I talk about my executive board in the city. And they're like, oh, wow, okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, you seem like a viable human. Okay. All right. We can have that opinion about you.
I love it.
As if, again, you know, as if what you do is who you are.
I was just saying that. What, as if self-worth was tied to what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, again, is another two unrelated issues that ego likes to use against us, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Put together and use against us. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
So thank you
so
much.
Well, thank you, Todd. Yeah. Go
Appreciate
happy.
It. Yeah, go happy. And be safe.
Yeah, we'll do our best. You too.
Okay. Thanks so much. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, Sangha. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Todd. Sherry, the thing that was most fascinating to me about that conversation is just noticing how conditioned we are to be able to ask the question, what do you do? It's almost the first thing that anyone asks in an introduction because of that underlying assumption in that conditioned world that your work defines who you are.
Yeah.
And it's not just, something in society or social status. There's such an underlying ego assumption there because we are what we are as beings, not what we are as what we do. But the question forces us into that box of defining ourselves about doing rather than being.
Yeah, and reinforces the assumption that if I know what you do, I know something.
Yes, I know who you are.
Yeah. So what we could do is be introduced to somebody and say, all right, I need to pigeonhole you. What do you do? Because that's actually what we're doing. I don't need to be present anymore because I have the information.
Right, and as soon as I can define a point, the duality can be constructed. You're either worth knowing or not worth knowing, or you do something good or you don't do something good, or how do I define myself relative to you? I feel secure or insecure. It's amazing how the duality springs into life once I've established how you are the dot in the white landscape, right?
Yeah.
There's a line
where
that
you fit in ego structure.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Woo.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Monica, currently on my way to work.
Oh,
can you hear me?
Hi, Monica. Yeah, it sounds like you're very far away. I'm guessing BART.
I'm actually on this street, but...
Okay.
Is that any better? Is that any better?
No, you sound good. You sound good. You sound fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can take my headset off if I need to. But, wow, this is just such a big topic. I have so much to say, so I'll try to keep it brief. So I work, where I work, there's like 4,000 people on any given day. And so yesterday I realized, like, my whole job is about interacting with people. So I'm framing it in practice of like that, you know, interacting with people meditation. And, you know, lots of opportunities to practice interacting with people meditation. And I want to say two things. So one was just a reference to something that Swinney said about like getting on the phone and saying like, okay, I'm talking to this person and this is what I'm going to practice when I talk to this person. And I love that so much because I, you know, I interact with people I don't know all day long, but there's a handful of people that I know what's going to happen when I interact with them. And so just saying, okay, this is what I'm working on with this person. This is what I'm working on with this person. I just really love that tip. Yeah. And the other thing
I'm gonna say, basically, Monica, what you're training yourself not to do is to go into an interaction looking to ego's assumptions.
Yeah, right? Like there's a way to prepare, because before I would go in and I would get caught on the same thing every single time. And it's like, okay, I know what's going to happen in this interaction. I've done it a million times. Here's what I'm going to practice this time. Anyway, just really
good.
Exciting.
Yeah, it is.
The other thing is because I'm still kind of transitioning back from the monastery, even though it's been a few weeks. And it was so mind-blowing when I returned to really see what's different about the monastery, well, besides a million things, but just that every single thing is set up so that you know pretty immediately when I'm not present or when I get distracted. There's like these ways that the monastery is like, come back, you know, like a gentle reminder that you weren't present, like, oh, I forgot to put my hat on, oh, I used the wrong cutting board, whatever. And then, of course, self-hate is there, but it's not like a environment for it to thrive, whereas coming back home, the environment is pretty much set up to thrive for ego. And what I've always believed is like, well, I don't have, it's not the monastery, I can't do it. But what I noticed when I came back is there's actually 100 million reminders that I'm not present, but I just go right over them. Oh, I dropped that on my foot. Okay, let me go rush and do this. Or, you know, like there's actually, if I look at them as reminders to stop and pause. Anyway, I know I'm saying a lot because I really saw so much when I came back, so I'll stop.
No, let me see if I'm fully tracking here. Because what you're saying that is really big for all of us is if we took the events in life, our regular life, when you're at work, when you're at home, to be the same guardrails or training wheels that we have at the monastery, we would have a different relationship with those, which would enable us to take an attitude like you have in these particular relationships, where you would say, I know what dance we're going to dance. Okay, we've been dancing that forever. And so what I want to practice in these circumstances is, right? Is that?
Exactly. And it took me weeks to really get that clear of what you're saying. I was like, there's something really different about the monastery. And I can't quite, you know, like, anyway. And instead of being like, you know, like throwing up my hands, well, I just can't be present in life because it's just not set up for it. I was able
to see.
And
yet it is, isn't it?
It so
is. It really is.
Yeah. It really is because, anyway, so much about it. But, yes, that is definitely it. Very well succinctly said.
If I may, Monica, I think the what captures what you're describing is the realization that life is on your side, that everything that happens to you is there to help you wake up. It's not a punishment.
Oh, my God.
It's not to prove there's something wrong with you. it's to help you wake up.
Yes, and actually that was the other piece that I saw, which was at the monastery I can do it because I know they're not out to get me. But these people at work, they're out to get me. And so I have to be, like, on my guard. Like, there's this whole thing about where I can trust and not trust. And, oh, my God, that's exactly it, Sherry. It's like life is not out to get me in certain situations. You know, just that whole duality. Like, it's just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So seeing these people as bodhisattvas. Right? Seeing these people as, so you got your monastery practice sangha, you got your work sangha, you got your,
right?
It's all one sangha, right? It's just sangha in this situation, and to see that same support, that's big.
Yeah.
Because when somebody's yelling at you and their face is red and their teeth are gritted, to realize this person is really trying hard to help me wake up. It takes us a while to get there, but it's true.
Right, right. And that was the other thing, like at the monastery, you can kind of notice it a pretty subtle thing. And then in life, it's like, oh, it takes like, I need to get hit over the head with a frying pan to realize that I've drifted away, you know, or like, eat a bag of cookies or binge on Netflix. Oh, wait, something might have happened here.
I might be identified.
You know?
I might not be present.
So I'm super excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, have fun.
Thank you. Thank you, Gasho. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Ashwini. Glad you guys are safe for the moment. I've been thinking about you.
Oh, good. Thank you. I bet it's all that energy coming at us that's creating this safety barrier for us. It's like, okay. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Monica. Sherry, I don't think we could squeeze in another caller. But I love what Monica...
Tell us what you saw then.
Yes. Well, that place that she was pointing to is such a shift in our orientation. I just love it. That to me is what we were talking about, of waiting for life to reveal something to us, right?
Yeah.
So here I am at the monastery, and I notice something about the structure that produces a different experience for me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm trained. My training kicks in to really pay attention to what is different about that. And the answer is there's no self-hate after... There's no place for the self-hate, and the way it's structured is a reminder. And so that's the orientation I could have to life. And so as soon as I can shift that perspective in me, I can see it everywhere. So I'm just looking for instances of life reminding me that I'm not present to it. And I can just experience that rather than... The conditioned narrative where everything's, it's a hostile universe and there's something wrong with me or them.
Yeah.
And that orientation shifts completely.
Yeah. And then when we get that moment, I like to combine those, right? I just finished the bag of cookies while binging on Netflix and maybe I'm not present. Drops in and we could just giggle. Right? You think? You know, where's the evidence? Okay, I got it. And that's it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, put that on my list. You know, when I watched my sixth program on television while eating a bag of cookies, this is an indication that I might not be present.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yes.
Very helpful.
Very helpful. Grateful for getting here. Grateful for waking up. All of that. And, well, what was I doing then? You know, there's that investigation that we do to go to process map how I moved to that place of unconscious.
Yes.
I think it was sometime in group where someone was saying, you know, I want to have an experience of sweetness. Or what is it that is being taken away from me in this moment that I can turn my attention to and be present to? Rather than be distracted so I don't have to confront it.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, that so much of what we're doing in awareness practice is backing up,
yeah.
right? Because there's no sense, really, in doing anything when we wake up in a circumstance other than be grateful that we're here. But your point is to begin the investigation of, how did I get here? Not just I'm here. I mean, it's great to be here, be present after something like that, but what set me off on that path? That's what I want to know, so that I can be waiting, just as Monica is saying about her work situation. You know, when I get to that fork in the road, I'm going to stop and breathe, right, rather than just going down that track again.
Well, and exactly the way Monica got there through the monastery, right? Not, I'm going to figure this out, but I'm going to put my attention on awareness to resolve that koan, and it drops in for me.
Yeah.
Right? Where was I the minute before? Where was I the minute before?
Yeah.
And really, that just brings us to what we started out with, Barbara. I'm just learning how to be in relationship with the intelligence that animates. All of my receptors are tuned in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Fun.
Okay. Well, then here's our assignment.
All right. Here we go.
Is there a duality operating that you can identify? Rearrange the voices on each side of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side? RL. Example, one side. I just need to try harder. I can make this work. Hopeful. Second side. I think it's time for me to move on. I'm out of here. Fed up.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Well, we're out of here, and we're out of here to go practice awareness.
Sounds good to me. Go happy.
All right. Go happy. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.